Please stand for the reading of God's Word. We talked last week about taking a test of where we are in our walk with Jesus Christ. And so the sermon series on gifts and on challenges for the faith that we have, we talked about salt and light last week, and we're going to continue that theme this morning, called Dusty Shoes. Matthew 5, 13 to 16 says this to you and me this morning: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are a light on the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What a challenge and what a privilege for each and every one of us. Let's find out if we're worthy of the challenge this morning. Please be seated. Many of you, out of conversation, I'm sure, but some concern, have said, how are you going to adjust to your new life of being home full time? You know, are you and Joanne going to be at each other's throats all the time? And I said, no. I said, she has her office in one end of the house, and I have mine, and the twain will meet from time to time. But I think we've been together enough that I don't think we worry about that. I think we worry about just finding time. I'm sure I'm going to have my moments in which I'm going to say, what do I do next? Because I've had a job where you were just constantly on the go. Now, one thing I won't miss are the following words: shine him up, mister. Shine him up. Come over here. Let me shine him up. I have heard that in airport after airport after airport. One of the finest shoe shines I ever got, and one that I always look forward to, was by a Christian bootsmith in Columbus, Ohio. He had people waiting every single time that I would go through the airport in Columbus. He was a Christian. He had his Christian business followers, and there wasn't a person that got in that seat that he wouldn't talk about Jesus Christ, and vice versa. So a lot of us would look forward to that interaction and what was happening in his life, what was happening in our lives. So I will miss that part of it, but I won't miss the screaming from all the other people about, mister, get your shoe shine. Now, I remember a few years ago, Michael said to me, I can tell you're a traveling salesman because you got spit shine on your shoes. And I would say, that's right, Michael, I haven't shined a pair of shoes in years, so that may be something Joanne will have to get me to do. So you see, I did say get me to do. No, I don't want to start out that way. However, you know, I mean, we would get to the airport, right? We want to get our shoes on because we want it to look so good for the customers that we were about to meet that day or that week. God's not interested in my shiny shoes. He's not interested in your shiny shoes either. He wants them dirty. He wants dirty shoes because we got out from behind the safety place called church, and we got out there. And we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our badge of honor is not a beautifully spit-shined shoes, although they do look nice. What looks nice to Christ and what's going to look so great when we get to the pearly gates are beat-up shoes. Because we walked, and we rode, and we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the challenge to me this morning. That's the challenge to you this morning, that we have dirty shoes. Because we got them dirty in God's fields. And as always, before we talk further about him, let's talk to him. Father God, the soft sound of sandaled feet as he walked still were dirty. The disciples still had dirty shoes and dirty feet and dirty sandals because they followed you. May we be found, Father, the same way. Dirty shoes trying to clean up dirty hearts. Father, sin does that to all of us, but your word cleans up the mess. And so may we be faithful during this sermon series about being mindful of the fact that we have an extraordinary calling on our lives. That calling is to serve you. Not our agenda, not our pride, not our ego, not our self-aggrandizement. Serving you, Father. May servanthood continue to be a focal point in Speedway Church. And Father, we'll give you all the joy and all the praise this morning in your name. Amen.
Amen.
How many times have I heard the following over 30 years of walking with Jesus Christ? How can one person make a difference for Jesus? Well, time this morning doesn't allow me to recant how many times one person has made a difference and a huge impact for kingdom growth. God challenges us right from the beginning in Genesis 1, verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. The Bible continues the idea of growing and making a difference in Matthew 28, 20. And if anybody has ever been in missions whatsoever, those are the marching orders, ladies and gentlemen. Go into all the world proclaiming and saving for Jesus Christ. In Acts 6, verse 7, then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied. You see, folks, one person can change the world when you help another person come to Jesus. Each person living today can be affected by the positive or negative impacts of another person. Think of what Osama impacted people with. Think of Lenin and Stalin and other people such as that. Compare that to a Mother Teresa or a Billy Graham. And very truthfully, some of you in this church, the impact that some of you are having on this world. Life is all about choices, and when we decide to get our shoes dirty by loving Jesus Christ, then loving one another, the impact is huge. So this morning, I want you to listen to my message, but I want you, when you go home, think about somebody that's had a huge impact on your life, a positive impact for Jesus Christ. Some of you know that I came to know Jesus Christ close to 30 years ago. Steve Brown, who's still around these days, has had a huge impact on my life. Modern day, thank God to television, David Jeremiah. Joel, I'll tell you, I never, ever, ever start Sunday morning outside of being in front of that television set at 7 o'clock to watch David Jeremiah. He inspires me. He gives me insights. He gives me last-minute sermon illustrations that I've used on more than one occasion. Why? Because he loves the Lord. He's real and he's genuine. So I want you to be thinking this next week, who has had a positive impact and how on your life, so that you might reflect on how that impact then could be used to impact someone else's life. You see, that's how it works here. Somebody said to me this morning that they would, and I saw them smiling, they said, you know why I'm smiling? I said, no. He said, because I see people fellowshipping. I see older people talking with younger people almost in a mentoring situation. You see, that's what the church is all about. That's what Speedway is all about. Loving Jesus Christ and then sharing that love with each other. Christians often ask what kind of impact they can have, but may I suggest that it really is not about your ability. Never has been. It's about your availability. If you're available, God's able. He'll use you if you'll only let him come and use you. If a single grain of salt can be tasted, if a single candle can dispel the darkness, no reason a committed Christian can't have a huge positive influence on the world around them. That can be said of a church, by the way. Let me ask you something this morning. Ever since Matthew told us to go into the world, we've had the resources to do that. But have we? Seems to me today that the Church of Jesus Christ spends more time within its walls than getting outside. Is the Church of Jesus Christ, a Speedway Community Church, a solitary organization or a social one? Should I be sharing, should we be sharing just among ourselves, or should we be outside the confines of the Hampton Inn, sharing the love, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ? One commentator has written this: to live only in our holy huddle Love that. On Sunday is to defeat the purpose for which the church has been called by Christ to go into the world. Billy Graham once wrote these words, "Instead of becoming salt and light, we have become content to withdraw into our separate ecclesiastical ghettos, preoccupied with our own internal affairs and unconcerned about the needs of those around us." And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said these words, "I will endeavor to show that Christianity is essentially a social religion, and that to return to it as a solitary religion is to destroy itself." You see, John Wesley spent his entire lifetime all over England, on horseback, by the way, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting dirty shoes. I pray the Speedway will do the same thing. Perhaps just not on horseback. Fruit bearing. What kind of fruit are we called to bear? When salt loses its flavor, we learn, Jesus said this, it's worthless. Matthew 5:13, we've said this morning, Matthew 5:14-15, when light is put under a basket, it too is worthless. For the church to accomplish the idea of preservation and illumination, we must go into the world where we find sin rampant. Even as a solitary Christian, you can be as effective as one grain of salt in a candle, if only you will go where God calls you. John 15:1-2 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me," ouch, "that bears no fruit." I added the ouch. "While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful." He continues in John 15:5, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Pruning. Ouch. Those of us that have been walking with Jesus Christ for a few years, those of us, as I like to say, of the gray hair or of the no hair in some cases, we have some experiences. Some of the most dynamic and interesting experiences are when God gets a hold of us. You see, when you stop pretending to be a Christian and you really take it seriously, God starts to prune you. And some of that pruning hurts like heck. Because he's forcing you to do things you don't like to do. He's forcing you into situations that you're not comfortable with. He's asking you to do things that you're not feeling that you're even worthy of. And the truth is, you're not. But you see, he makes it possible. Because wherever he leads you, he promised Moses thousands of years ago, "I will be with you." Moses at 80 was petrified. 80, ladies and gentlemen, there's still hope for all of us. He can still be used. But it's turning yourself over to him and saying, "God, I want you to work in my life. I want you to light my path. I want you to focus me in the right direction so that I benefit from it. I get to know the joy, even in those tough times." And every single tough time Joanne and I have gone through in almost 30 years of marriage has been for our benefit. It has truly been for our benefit because it's matured us in our faith. It's shown us where we need to cling to, where we need to look to. And you can say that many of you said the same thing. So don't be afraid of the tough times. Tough times never last. Tough people do. It's an old football expression. It's true for the Christian too. Tough times never last. The only thing that lasts is God's love for you in eternity. It'll get you through it. So don't be afraid of the pruning, because it's for our benefit and God's glory. You see, the farming culture was so prevalent in the early Bible days that everybody understood metaphors like fruit and vineyard, seed and soils and harvest. When Jesus said he's a vine and his followers, and that's you and I are the branches, everyone understood what it meant. And we should too. His followers' lives were to be an offshoot of his own. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we are connected to the greatest power source in the universe, the power of God. His power is available to help us accomplish the things that we are called to do for him. But if we don't stay connected to God's power, we live far beneath our potential. John 15 is about Jesus teaching his disciples and you and me today how important it is to remain connected to the power source. You see, you and I get dusty shoes when we work together in God's fields. When the true vine, Jesus, and you and I walk hand in hand through those fields, great harvests are achieved. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit on its own, neither can we bear fruit in the Christian life without the power that comes from being connected to that true vine. When we are connected to Him, there is no limit to what we can accomplish through Him. Jesus is telling us that if we want a life of eternal significance, I don't know about you, we have to stay connected to Him. A key phrase in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean you can't accomplish things. It means that what you accomplish doesn't matter. We need to be about accomplishing things for Jesus Christ. Where do we get our marching orders? In God's Word. How do we learn more about it? By living them out. How do we grow in it? By sharing with one another. That's what Speedway is all about. Faithfully reading God's Word, struggling to live them out, and being here for one another. Praise God that that never changes. Ever changes. Our ability to bear much fruit and accomplish meaningful things for God's kingdom is only limited by the distance between our lives and God's purposes. When the two go hand in hand, the fields are ripe for the picking. When we walk hand in hand, we will always end up where we are needed. Fruit bearing is important, ladies and gentlemen, truly is. Fruitfulness is in direct relationship to how seriously we take our walk with God. Matthew 7. Verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Matthew 12:33, a tree is known by its fruit. If a person is a Christian, there will be fruit or evidence that indicates who they are following. The lack of fruit over time to me indicates a true lack of spirituality in a person. The kind of fruit we need to produce is a measure of our walk with Christ. John 15 talks about fruit. And more fruit, and even more fruit. In other words, there are degrees of productivity in the spiritual life. Not all believers are going to bear the same amount of fruit. Different people have different gifts. But may I suggest this morning that you can tell a lot about someone's walk with the Lord by how much dust and dirt they have on their shoes. I always enjoy these times with you. Can anybody tell me what a sucker shoot is? What? A sucker, S-U-C-K-E-R. I mean, there's one born every day, right? I almost was going to say anybody but the Brindleys, but nobody else has raised their hand. Okay, Brindleys, what's a sucker shoot?
A sucker shoot. It comes off of a main limb, and it comes to the side, and usually it bears no fruit.
That's what I said. I was almost going to say, other than the Brindleys. That's exactly correct. In fact, we were out in our front yard yesterday morning. We have a nice couple that have moved in next door from the Coast Guard, by the way. And he was asking Joanne, but is that approved grass down there, or is that a weed? And Joanne said, no, that's a weed. The rest you keep. The rest, no, but you can pull that out. Well, what a sucker shoot is something that grows. And have you ever seen just a stump and something coming out of that stump? That's a sucker shoot. It means nothing. It accomplishes nothing. But what does it do, though? It drains from the stability of the root system. The worst thing you and I can be are sucker shoots. Think about it. This is what you got to remember. Sucker shoots. It matters what we do. We can't just be about being busy. We need to be busy doing things for Jesus Christ. Sin is the biggest sucker shoot in your life and mine. And so we need to daily be pruning the sucker shoot of our life so that we can accomplish the things that the master pruner wants inside every one of us. Please remember sucker shoot. I will never forget it. And the Brindleys are absolutely right.
I learned it from her.
I'm sure you did. Leaves that grow off the vine but do not flower. They take up energy from the vine that could be directed, listen, towards producing fruit. They need to be removed. The purpose of the vineyard is what? To grow fruit, not sucker shoots. Branches that bear fruit are always being pruned in order to produce more and more fruit. God is constantly pruning our lives so that the sucker shoots of our lives don't gain control. The sin that exists in all of our lives is indeed the biggest sucker shoot we will have to deal with, and it's deserving of our constant attention. We shouldn't allow anything that distracts us or diverts us from our calling in Christ. Sometimes fruitful Christians go through times of difficulty, can I get an amen to that, of pruning, and we really don't understand why. I have found that it is in those times that God is doing some of his greatest work in my life. I don't like it at the time. I really don't. I don't look forward to those occasions. I can't wait till they're over. But when they're over, he gives me the wherewithal to look back and see, that's what he was trying to teach me. That's what he wanted me to learn. So that I could grow in my faith and I could be more effective with the responsibilities he's given me. Not just as a pastor, but every single one of you. Every single one of you this morning. We bear fruit as a result of the blessings from God, but we need to remember that our fruits are for the blessing of others, not just ourselves. Vertical right, horizontal will take care of itself. I pray that you don't come to Speedway asking what we can do for you, although we are here for you. I pray, oh, how we've been blessed, that God has brought people into this church to say, what can we do to serve Jesus Christ? How can we come into Speedway and honor Jesus Christ? It is so evident by what takes place here. God is alive and well here because we've invited him into this church from day one. And we look to him and to him only for the answers that matter. And no sucker shoot is going to divert us from that attention. Now, I love oranges, bananas, and apples. Joanne will tell you I need to eat a lot more of them. But I love so much more when I can help someone else and send them to Jesus Christ. Verse 8 of John 15 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you and I do what God calls us to do by spreading around his word and his fruit, by constantly dusting off our dirty shoes, God gets the glory that he so richly deserves. Let me give you a few examples that God laid on my heart this past week of what I consider to be fruit bearing. Galatians 5, 22-23. The fruit of the Spirit, many of you know this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Anybody in here have a problem with self-control? The rest of you are lying. Joanne got a phone call this week from a credit organization that we had long ago taken care of. And I get real nervous these days when people call and pretend or say they're somebody, and I've learned you don't give them any information whatsoever. You want something from me? Mail me. I'll respond. Nothing over the phone. Well, she, because she's much nicer than I am, a lot lovelier on the phone, she was going over and over, and I finally said, I just yelled into the phone, listen, I'm her husband, you got something to say to this family, you mail it in here, you don't know what you're talking about, and we hung up. Joanne comes out to me later, that wasn't very Christian-like, Brock. I said, no, honey, I was just fed up. Well, it turned out the man was right. Okay. It was something that we had receipts to show we had paid it, but somehow the intermediaries got involved, and it got washed back out. So the person making the call didn't have the up-to-date information, but he thought he was right from his perspective, we were right from ours. The bottom line was, Brock had no self-control. Not the first time, it won't be the last time. So that's one of the sucker shoots that's alive and well in my life that I need to deal with. What's the point? There's eight others there, my friends, and you can't keep them any better than I can keep them. Why? Because we're sinners. So do we need to be near the power source? Do we need to be constantly watching the different failings and flaws that confront us as Christians? You bet we do. By the way, I didn't introduce myself as the pastor on the phone. That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. It's impossible to have all nine at any one time, but in our attempt to be more like Jesus, we ought to try. In our trying, though, I do believe that we should see results in the following areas of our lives. Number one, character. The kind of person I am is supposed to be a strong indication that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Every single person ought to be able to give testimony of the changes in their life since they came to know Christ. The fruit of the Spirit does not come naturally in our sin-stained lives, so we have to work at it constantly. Fruit-bearing should impact our conduct as well. Paul prays a wonderful prayer in Colossians 1, verse 10. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. We learn in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, those famous words, "For it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of anything that we do, and we do it for good works." While we are not saved by our works, our lives are definitely supposed to be manifested to such a point that the works God gives us to do help save others. Our conduct should be a reflection of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Number three, contributions. When you and I give to God an incredibly small proportion back to what He's given you and I, we show what He means to us. You see, generosity with time, talent, and treasure is an indication of our recognition that all we have truly does come from Him. All we have truly does come from Him. Because it's so hard for us to let go of what we perceive to be our money and our time and our talent. When we do, it's an incredible indicator of our walk with Jesus Christ. Holding tightly to what we have is not God's way. It's man's way. God has taught me over my lifetime not only that I can't possibly outgive Him, but His reservoir to my bank account never dries up as long as I give to Him. Number four, communication. Communication. Hebrews 13:15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise," which I believe the music in this church does every single, and this morning was fabulous. "The fruit of lips that openly profess His name." In Old Testament times, believers would always bring the best of their flock or the best from their fields. But today, we bring ourselves, hopefully with dirty shoes, and we sing and say praises to our God. When we sing praises to God every Sunday here at Speedway, and we declare His greatness through our preaching, we are offering the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice to Him. And then lastly, another C word, converts. We should actively be trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. Nothing makes Christians more fearful today than testimonies and going out and trying to change non-Christians into Christians. One of my visions for 2012 is to offer Dr. Kennedy's Evangelism Explosion for this church. It's a program that has brought hundreds of thousands of people to knowing Jesus Christ because of that program. We should never, ever, ever be so comfortable in our situations that we forget there's a lost world out there. The joy that we experience in here needs to be shared. The love that we experience in here needs to be shared. The grace and the mercy that you and I have had the privilege of receiving and sharing with one another needs to be shared with the world out there. Homestead desperately needs the light of Jesus Christ. And we, ladies and gentlemen, you and me, have a responsibility to do that. And I hope to be very intentional about that next year. All of us here at Speedway should love our God enough and love our and have a compassion for our fellow man that we should lovingly share the good news of Jesus Christ to people whose eternal lives depend on Him. So, may our dirty shoes be a sign of total respect and admiration for the only one who truly allows us to shine. And may we become the difference maker God has called us to be. Amen. Father God, we have shiny shoes, but only for a short time. And then we get to know You. And when we really get to know You, we are challenged, Father, to let the dirt come all over us. Because You're about washing us clean anyways. And Father, we can't possibly wash ourselves the way You can. And so, Father, let us be about Your business. Let us be about sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We will win more people to this church by the love we share than any other procedure we take. And Father, Evangelism Explosion is the epitome of sharing the love of Jesus Christ. May we all deal with the sucker shoots of our lives, and may You get the glory this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.